Ron Van Dam knows exactly why you enjoy his show.
It makes no sense.
And that says something a little weird about you. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh,
hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. If I only have one life to live, let me live it as a blonde. That begs the question, do blondes really have more fun? And the answer is, who cares? This show uses cookies, so before you continue listening, you have to click on that little thing, or you have to call up the radio station and say that you accept my cookies. I want everybody to accept my cookies. It's my golden life to have mass acceptance of my cookies. Last night I had nothing to do. There was nothing on television. So I went into the pantry. I have a pantry, by the way, which is a closet with food in it. And I got out a box of cookie mix. And I baked cookies. I felt like a Girl Scout trying to raise money for something. So I baked the cookies. Now you must accept my cookies. Failure to accept my cookies will just make me feel very sad. I was up all night making cookies. If you're not going to accept my cookies, then I don't know what to say to you anymore. What an infantile world we live in with technology. It's infantile. If I want to search something on a computer, I have to Google it. That's the sound that a baby makes with saliva dripping out of its mouth all over your shirt. Google? Seriously? That's the all-information place to go? Where a baby gurgles? Come on, now I'm asking you to accept my cookies? There were search engines that were called Yahoo. Yahoo, what the hell is that? What was wrong with us? God. Yahoo? What the hell are we doing? What the hell are we doing? Oh, my God. Have you accepted my cookies yet? No? Oh, all right. Someday you will. I'll just keep baking. You keep accepting. And that makes me feel so guilty. When I walk out of a supermarket and there's a little folding table there and there's girls sitting there, underage girls that I don't think any adult should be speaking to unless they're your parents. You're their parents. They're sitting there behind a table and they're hitting me up for money. They want me to buy their cookies. They want me to accept their cookies. And it just feels wrong. Seated at the table are these underage kids that shouldn't be out in public, but their parents are about 6 or 7 feet away, just observing everything. They're not behind the table with the Girl Scouts because that would be like helicopter cookieing. No, they let the girls do it themselves, but they keep the girls in view by standing, you know, a good distance away. And they answer any questions that an adult may have, or if an adult gets a little testy with one of the Girl Scouts, the parents can step in and beat the crap out of them. It's a very strange supervision system. So I'm leaving the supermarket. I got my groceries, and these girls are sitting behind the table, and they're hitting me up, man. These little girls are hitting me up, and they're not even dressed in the Girl Scout uniforms. Come on, if you're going to solicit something from me, at least dress in a uniform. You know what I'm saying, man? So they're sitting behind there, and I'm walking by, and they go, excuse me, would you care to buy some Girl Scout cookies? And my immediate reaction is, no. What the hell are you doing sitting behind a folding table in front of a supermarket? This is a little bizarre. But they're selling Girl Scout cookies. I don't know why. I don't know how. I just know they are. Because that's been going on for decades and decades and decades. Young girls sitting behind a folding table selling cookies. I don't know. And then that's when the guilt sets in. Oh, my God. Now, I haven't been in a church in a long time, but I don't need the church to make me feel guilty because this happens every day. So the little girls are sitting there. You can't say no to these children. You really can't. So I said, now, look, I am what they call pre-diabetic. That means someday I may have diabetes or not. I don't know. You know, the jury's still out on that one. So I try to keep away from sugar. And here are these girls soliciting behind the folding table, asking me to eat sugar. And I explained to them that, I'm not really into sugar. And they look at me with those eyes like, but if you die eating sugar, it was for a good cause. I don't even know what your cause is. So I always say to them, do you have any sugar-free cookies? And that's when the parents step in. I'm having conversation with their child. Oh, that's not right. That's not right. The parent steps in and says, you know, it's unfortunate they don't make sugar-free cookies. So, okay. Our time here is finished. But no, the smart little girl behind the table says to me, well, do you have anybody in your family that likes cookies? Oh, you little bastard. You're hitting below the belt now. Now you're not letting me leave the table. So what I do is I say, okay, how much are the cookies? $1? And she says, no, they're $5. $5 for a little package of cookies? This is just awful. This is just awful. It's like around Christmas time when I'm leaving the supermarket. A lot of stuff happens outside the supermarket. I don't go shopping anymore because there could be a folding table out front. The Salvation Army has a bell ringer. I don't understand that either. I understand why I would give them money. I'm not sure why I'm giving Girl Scouts money. I'm really not sure what they do. If you're a Girl Scout or the parent of a Girl Scout, you probably know what they do with the money. I don't know what they do with the money, and I don't want to know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and I don't want to know what they're doing with that money. Salvation Army is a little obvious. You know, we're helping out people that are in need. And there's this kettle or whatever, and they're doing stuff and trying to attract me over to their kettle and ringing a bell. And I always go up to the person and say, I'd like to donate, but if I put $1 in your little pot, will you not ring the bell anymore? It's so freaking annoying. And the person with the kettle says, I tell you what, you put $1 in there and I won't ring the bell until after you get in your car and leave. That's, you got a deal, man. You got a deal. I'll give you $1 if you'll just stop ringing that freaking bell. Oh, Lord. Did you ever meet anybody that loves Christmas music so much that they listen to Christmas music all year round? Stay away from them. There's something wrong with them. Ron, they love Christmas music. What's your problem? It's just not right. Everybody is very excited about the possibility of not having to turn your clocks forward and backward. I've been talking about this for a few days because socially, this is a miracle handed down from the heavens above. And when I bring up the subject, the response from the person I'm speaking to is always something similar to, oh, great, now no more seasonal depression. Oh, my God. And I know that a lot of people suffer from seasonal depression because it gets dark early. Look, they invented light bulbs. It doesn't have to be that, what, when the sun goes down, do you sit in a dark room until it comes up again? What's the seasonal depression stuff? Well, Ron, I can't do anything outside at night, when it gets dark out at like 5 or 6 o'clock. Okay. Then why don't you do things inside for a little while? Well, Ron, I never thought of that. Well, I could do things inside. Yes, you can. Seasonal depression. And I'm not making fun of people that have it, because apparently it's a gigantic problem. But I got to tell you, I don't think it's very difficult to remedy seasonal depression because it gets dark a little bit earlier. Give me a break. Well, we've been going through a lot, Ron, you know, with the quarantine and everything and the influenza thing and the pandemia Kobe thing, and we've been going through a lot, and a lot of people are depressed and feel very alone. And now that, if we can get away with not turning the clocks forward and backward, this would solve the psychology. Everybody would be happy. No, they wouldn't. No, they would. You can be depressed outside, too. God, can nobody be depressed outside? Oh, yeah, stupid stuff. I think changing the clocks forward and backward is really stupid. But I think it's also stupid to have sunlight at 9 o'clock at night. I think that's all equally stupid. That depresses me. Hey, I want to go to sleep. Well, it's still bright outside. I know. What the hell is this about? I mean, I do the show very, very early in the morning. I'm in bed around 9 o'clock at night. If it's not dark yet at 9 o'clock at night, I get depressed. How about me, okay? You know, how about me? Anyway, enough about that. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. Patron saint of something. Girl Scout cookies, I think. Yesterday, apparently, I was supposed to wear green. But rather than that, I had a little piece of snot hanging out of my nose all day. Only green thing I could come up with, to be honest. That's disgusting. That's just, I can't believe I said that. I don't think I wore green anywhere. I don't know. I saw people wearing green, and I thought there was something wrong or a gigantic coincidence. Hey, look, all those people, for some reason, they're all wearing some shade of green. What's that about? It's like on Ash Wednesday when the religious people wear that little smudge on in the middle of their forehead where the third eye is. And all of a sudden I put two and two together on Ash Wednesday. I go, well, why are all these people walking around and they haven't washed their face for some reason? Don't they all realize it? What's going on? What's going on there? And then you realize, oh, it's Ash Wednesday. It's the day that people put a little smudge on their forehead. Okay. All right. That's okay. All right. So what I do is I just go into the backyard, take a handful of mud, put it on my face, and I wear it on Fridays. I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm not being sacrilegious, and I'm not making fun of you. But it's just, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I should not talk about religion on this program. I get in trouble every time I do. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying it's just a little out of the ordinary to see people walking around with dirt on their forehead. That's all I'm saying. Nothing wrong with it. I think it's perfectly fine. I don't care. Anyway, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. And there you have it. Because on St. Patrick's Day, everybody walks around and says, you know, there's a little Irish in everybody. And so when I got home, I just, I tried to find something Irish and I couldn't. A little Irish in everybody. I don't know. The Irish thing is, they're very wonderful people and I hate to group them all together. They have some wonderful fantasies going on with the little freakish elf that runs around. What do they call that thing? A leprechaun? Okay, that's fine. I get a little suspicious of an entire culture that thinks that there is little green men running around stealing everybody's money, or a pot of gold or something. It's kind of odd. It's an odd fantasy to have is what I'm saying. But I guess if you're going to spend most of the days in the tavern, and I think a lot of Irish people do love to drink, that's the persona you took on. If you're going to do all that drinking, then you're going to start seeing little green men running all over the place. There's no question about it. I mean, I'm not Irish, but I've seen little green men run all over the place if I had too much to drink. And I guess that's what they mean by there's a little Irish in everybody. I don't understand that. Anyway, I have a very interesting guest coming up on today's program. This is the Friday edition of the show. I only do these shows on weekdays because it's easier to remember what kind of day it is when you do that. So this show will last, it's refreshing and it will last through the weekend. And then Monday I'll do a new show. So that's pretty much the deal. So we're going to take a quick break now. We come back, my guest will be joining us. I think we're going to figure out how to eat healthy, I believe. I'm not sure about that. I don't know exactly who our guest is. I have not been informed. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm not up on this kind of thing. All I do know is I think everybody loves chicken.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like-cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Mia Sin is a nationally recognized nutrition expert. She's an MS, an RDN, all kinds of letters after her name. And we're talking about March being National Nutrition Month. It's a lot of things this month, to be honest with you, but one of them is Nutrition Month. But it's always Nutrition Month. This is, you know, we all always should eat right. Do you think that we kind of do or don't?
Absolutely. I think every month should be Nutrition Month, but I'm a registered dietitian, so I'm a little biased. But, yeah. You know, we eat every day, so it's a decision we're each making each and every day. And yeah. So I love sharing healthy eating tips, healthy snack ideas, ways to switch it up so that you're eating healthfully.
Is there like a viable substitute for just about everything in at least a healthier manner?
I think I could argue that there are a lot of healthier swaps, like some that come to mind are like zucchini noodles instead of pasta. It's like a great way to, get in an extra serving of veggies or spaghetti squash. So there's ways to satisfy cravings, but in a healthier way.
If I like spaghetti and I like zucchini and squash spaghetti, can I eat more of the vegetable version than I could if just the starchy spaghetti version?
Oh yeah, absolutely. All like right. A cup of zucchini noodles is like 30 calories versus a cup of pasta is about 210 calories. Ooh. So, and plus you're getting that filling fiber and those micronutrients. So it's a nutritious option.
See, that's the problem because I can't stop eating spaghetti because those starchy things, like the, it's like potato chips, just can't stop. So if I can do a pretty good amount of vegetables, that's not so bad either. Okay. A lot of, as you are an RDN, a lot of diseases and things can be actually taken care of with a healthy diet. For example, I know a lot of people that have digestive issues and gas or stomach pains after they eat. A lot of that could be the food, right?
Absolutely. You know, food is kind of confusing. Everyone has an opinion and people's bodies are different. Mm-hmm. And so really the way of the future is personalized nutrition programs like Zoe's, which helps you understand exactly how to eat for your body and gut bacteria so that you can feel healthier, lose weight, have more energy, but without dieting. So it starts with an at-home test. It was created by top scientists as part of the largest nutrition study in the world. And your results will kind of tell you which foods are best for you, how to combine foods to reach your goals. And you can really, the program helps you stop restricting food, eat abundantly, and kind of see which foods work best for your biology. So it's really the way of the future and really exciting area of nutrition.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Because otherwise, you would go to the doctor and go through like years of testing, possibly. I mean, this seems like more of a at-home, maybe it, that can help you at home kind of test.
Yes, at home, and it's really empowering. You learn about your body, your biology, your digestion. It's really the way of the future.
What about beverages? How much of a part do they play?
Beverages can really be a source of, you know, empty calories, especially if you have sugar-sweetened beverages like, you know, soda pop or fruit juice, sugar-sweetened fruit juice. Mm-hmm. I recommend an almond milk. I think that's a great all-purpose beverage because it's nutritious. I like the Almond Breeze almond milk. It's a plant-based milk, good source of vitamin A, excellent source of calcium, vitamins D and E. And it's great. There's unsweetened varieties, which are great. Delicious sugar-free options, and there's also the extra creamy almond milk, which is a great swap for dairy milk in any recipe. So you can use it in oatmeal, smoothies, you name it.
I'm not paid for this, but I'll tell you, I drink almond milk every day. I switched to it about a year ago, now I find regular milk to be a little much. But almond milk is like 30 calories for a glass. I do the unsweetened vanilla. There's no sugar in it, which is fantastic. But it tastes, I wouldn't say sweet, but not unsweet. It's fantastic. 30 calories for a glass. Give me a break. And it's got the nutrients and the vitamins in it. I mean, I'm in love with that thing.
Love it. Yeah, it's so versatile. It tastes like the real deal, maybe even better, I would say.
Yeah, I bet.
And you can use it for so much.
Yeah, very cool. I think you know better than I, but there are so few healthy people. If you say to somebody, is there anything like bothering you right now? Well, to be honest with you, yeah, there's this and there's that. I've yet to meet somebody that says, no, I feel perfectly, incredibly wonderful unless they're lying to me.
Totally. I think we all kind of, you know, we could all benefit from adding more nutrition to our diet. Mm-hmm. And once you make that connection between the way food makes you feel, it really empowers you to make better food choices. Yeah. And that's kind of what drew me to the field of nutrition because it's something that we do every day. We all eat, and that having that knowledge is so powerful.
Mia, let me ask you something here that I usually don't ask. I mean, we're talking about food and beverage and nutrition by what you consume. A lot of people do it in the pharmacy. You know, they go down the aisles with the vitamins and the various nutrients. And they take it in pill form. How effective is that compared to digesting it as a food source?
Right. Yeah, that's definitely something that dietitians, we like to say food is medicine because of all the vitamins, minerals, micronutrients, antioxidants that they provide. And that's something that you can't get from a pill. It really can't be replicated. Nutrition is such a new science. There's new research coming out all the time, the way that these nutrients work synergistically together. So I'm a huge advocate of whole foods first, over a pill or quick fix, anything like that.
Yeah. It's interesting how certain cultural foods can be, I mean, so near and dear to you, but some of them are like kind of not really very nutritious and wonderful for you. I remember going to New Orleans and having some of their food, and it killed me either spice-wise or sodium-wise. It was like too much for me because I don't eat like that all the time. Certain culture foods are like, can you do variations even on that?
Right. Yeah, that can be a struggle, you know, because these are foods that we grew up with,
yes,
we know and love,
yes,
and I'm very much all about balance, you know, enjoying those meals, enjoying the holiday season, those nostalgic foods, in moderation, not an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are ways to lighten up those types of meals, lower the sodium without affecting the taste very much.
Mm-hmm.
But, enjoying them in moderation, I think, is key, and not kind of restricting your diet completely.
Yeah, it's amazing. I learned that lemons kind of can take the place of salt, and I never knew that. It had kind of like the same end result. That was pretty cool. Certainly more natural.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great salt-free seasonings, too, if you want to add flavor,
yes,
to meals, but without the sodium.
Yes. Well, I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not supposed to. So where would I go for more information here about that and about taking this this test to see exactly what foods are good for me?
Yes. Yeah, so for more information, you can visit my website, nutritionbymia.com.
Yeah.
I love sharing healthy snack ideas. You know, my favorite snacks are these organic rice cakes that you could pair with cheese, dunk into your favorite dip. They're by Lundberg Family Farms. Could do almonds. So I have a bunch of snack ideas there and more nutrition information, tips and recipes.
Very cool. Almonds are a great snack, by the way. That's a nice tip, too. Very good. Hey, thank you so much, Mia. Pleasure speaking to you. Welcome back to the program. Thank you so much to my guest. You have been wonderful for listening today as well. Now, some of you, now it's time to take out, some of you, take out your raffle ticket. We were selling raffle tickets yesterday. If you left your supermarket and you saw a folding table, I was sitting behind it selling raffle tickets. So I could raise money for I don't know what. And by the way, thank you for accepting my cookies. Okay, here's the number. The winning number will be the winner for today. Here we go. Get your raffle ticket out, please. Thank you. Here we go. Here are the numbers. 17, 23, 37, 92, 173.5, 2,529, 7,557, 11,296, 352,672, 96,522,000. 111. If you have, oh, by the way, the bonus number, 6. If you have that on your raffle ticket, you have won. I don't know what you've won, but you've won. I have nothing to give you. It's just the satisfaction knowing that you won. That way you can run around telling people, guess what happened today? I won the raffle. Really? What did you win? I don't know. I'm not getting it because I don't know what it is. No offer was made as to what the prize will be. But I won. It's my lucky day. Do you ever like things are going well and you say to yourself, my God, this is my lucky day. And you run down to the local convenience store, which is never convenient to get to. And you run up to the counter and you say to the person who doesn't speak English, give me one of those scratch tickets. And they give you a scratch ticket and you sit down, you scratch it, and you've won nothing. You've lost your money buying the scratch ticket. Guess what? That's the end of your lucky day. It was my lucky day for a while, and then not. Oh, God. Have yourselves a wonderful lucky day. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.